This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Olin, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. Tough loss up there for the Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers, especially rewatching the film this morning. They're right there, except for Packers make a bunch of big plays on third down and late in the first half, and the Bears have a chance there late in the game after fighting their way back into the football game, battling back, tying it up there on the road, and obviously the defense gives up the touchdown, and we missed that last play. But the Chicago Bears, I'm sure, watching the film this morning, know how close they were. Really, you know, you don't want this, obviously, to carry into this week.
Olin, I think you played long enough in this rivalry. We're such at the heart of it that I don't want to insult you with this question, because I think you look at it differently than the rest of us, perhaps. But there are no moral victories in a rivalry like this. But the concept of an acceptable loss, how do you look at it? The Bears had an encouraging day on a discouraging effort. They lost, but they also closed the gap. Are there positives that come out of this? Or do you just look at it, well, you know what, it is the Packers, and you hate to lose to your dreaded rival?
Yeah, like you said, you know, I played against the Packers as a Chicago Bear 27 times, and we all remember the last loss, which really sucked. But when you're asking me that question, I look at it from two points of views, right? I look at it from when I was a player and I was in the locker room, and you don't want, you know, and, you know, there's no moral victories like you're talking about. It's just like, okay, man, like, we got to find a way to win that damn football game, right? Like, we're right there. We can make the plays. Our number one pick in the draft has the football in his hands. He has three or four different options. I want to see him make that play no matter what everyone's screaming about. The throw to Cole Kmet was probably there. You know, the run might have been there. And DJ Moore was there, right, coming across. Every former backup quarterback in the world broke down the play on Twitter after the game. So you can go on Twitter and check that out if you want. But then there's the analyst side, David, which we do now, right? And there's a side of, like, we know how bad the Bears have been over the last 4 or 5 years. We know how far the Packers were ahead of us last year, even though the Bears beat them and lost by one. We're talking about overall, go up there against Green Bay, 9-3, leading the NFC, playing the Packers, and then have the ball in your quarterback hands at the end of the game to win the football game with the secondary with a lot of injuries. And we know what we're looking at, and we know where this organization is trying to go to. You know, if we talked about last night on the post-game show, it's nice not to have to, this late in the year, not to have to talk about culture, right? And they got to change the culture up there and who's the coach going to be and all that stuff. That's not the problem right now, right? The problem is have the great players make the plays at the end of the game to win the game, and the thing about the film is when you watch it this morning, you say to yourself, they can make those plays. They got the guys who can make those plays. They can find a way to beat this team coming up here in two short weeks.
Let's talk about that last play, Olin. Mm-hmm. You think he could have made it running? It didn't look like there was enough. It looked like the linebacker was coming up, and it didn't look like there was a lot of space toward the sideline. And I just, would that be him going at a guy and somehow shifting around him, deking him out? I mean, how would that have worked had he chosen to run? And then there were three elements. We know that the pass to Cole Kmet didn't work. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, looking at the tape, that DJ Moore leaked out a little late, and maybe that's why he didn't look at him. But good God, he was wide open. I mean, wide open.
Which would have been a tough pass, but you got to go through the whole sequence, right? We talked about it last night on the postgame show. They get the ball on second down, minute 13 left in the game. They have three timeouts. They run the ball to that 31, right? And by the time they're done with that 31 play, there's only 27 seconds left on the clock. So some game management, some time management there that I wonder about. All of a sudden, okay, now it's 4th-and-1. We only have 27 seconds. Is that the reason why you throw the ball? Is that the reason why Caleb feels like he should take a shot at the end zone, which is all not true. It's just in the moment of the game, does Caleb feel that way, right? With, okay, there's only 27 seconds left now on the clock. Now, he was asking me about that they call that, we called that, I don't know what they call it, was slipper boot left, right? And the running back Swift slips out into the flat. Caleb can run, or you can hit DJ Moore coming across, or Cole Kmet on the corner out, leaking out there. But it's because it's Caleb, when you see Quay Walker and Edger and James there, and it looks like he may have half a step, you're like, man, I wonder if Caleb could have made that. Could have ran that ball because the way he runs the ball, how fast he is, how good of an athlete he is. And I heard Dustin talking about, we'll wait for the big guys come on with the all 22. You know, the big guys, they talk about all 22. I think that's what Dustin said. And I started laughing and I thought, man, I think he's talking about me. But anyway, he might have been able to make that run with how good, how strong he is, how he runs the ball, Mully. But obviously, there's two really good linebackers right there chasing him down. Obviously, DJ Moore comes open late, but someone is chasing Caleb from behind, and he has to have to flip his hips and make a great throw with his arm, which you guys saw the throw he had to Zacchaeus, which if you want to watch something, Dustin, I know Dustin's listening to this for all 22. Watch that throw. It's unbelievable in all 22. Listen, flip his hips, make that throw. The funny thing about it, guys, is when you say to yourself, look, and I hate to paint this as a great thing, but it's like, okay, can he do that? It's because it's Caleb that you're thinking he can do all those things, right? He can run for the first down. He can flip his hips and throw it to DJ Moore, or he should just look. The throw to Cole Kmet, the one he picked, was there. And he said after the game, I just need to throw a better ball there. And he's exactly right. Just throw a better ball there to Cole Kmet, and he's behind Nixon. And I think Williams, the Packers safety, said after the game that he screwed up that coverage, that I think he was supposed to be on Cole Kmet, and Nixon saved him. So,
he did.
Caleb Williams, I think he said, I think what is very basic, what is very true, I have to throw a Cole Kmet a better ball there. He said he wanted to throw it to him and give him a chance and give him like a 50-50 ball, and just kept repeating, I have to throw a better ball there.
Olin, as one of the big guys who probably watched the All-22 so far, when you looked at the second half, what did the Bears do schematically to neutralize Micah Parsons? Because he was less active and evident in the second half. Was it just as simple as the Bears were able to run the football more effectively, or did they do something else in terms of formations? How did you see it?
Yeah, it really started at the end of the first half, right, David? I'm sure you remember that 8-minute drive that they got the field goal on. They went 7-3, and the offense got a little momentum and a little rhythm. They're running the football, getting Caleb outside the pocket. All the things that you do to slow down a pass rusher is what Ben Johnson was doing to slow down a guy like Micah Parsons. When they got in 3rd-and-long, they got in a little bit of trouble with Halfley's, the defensive coordinator for the Packers. His simulated pressures, right, got free, and some sometimes you're dropping Parsons into coverage and overloading one side or another, and they're actually attacking Jonah Jackson with Parsons because they knew the help would be at Ozzie Trapillo. But what they did, of course, is all the things you talk about, while you chip, some of the, I heard you guys talking about what happened to DJ Moore. Some of it is he's trying to help the tackle with chipping, and the Bears are using, you know, 13 personnel, which is three tight ends, and using Coastin Loveland as a wide receiver. But all the things you're talking, run the ball, wear him out, Manunga, you remember him breaking Cooper's helmet, what a run. This kid runs the ball, man. He is a violent football player. But just, you know, slow him down, move the pocket, get Caleb outside the pocket. The funny thing about Parsons is he's the only guy who can run past Caleb and then go back and run him down. That guy's got tremendous speed. But they were giving people a lot of help. They were where he was. They were changing up the protections, running different protections to give him different looks. They did a lot of things to slow him down. Credit Ben Johnson, Dan Roshar, Declan Doyle, all the guys who came up with the plan to try to slow down a guy, because, like everyone talked about going into the game, Parsons is a closer, right? He's a closer, and you kept looking for him in the fourth quarter, and the Bears were just doing a really nice job, and I think the TV copy showed him on the sideline. It was like a boxing match, right? When you go to the body long enough, guys start to wear out, and Parsons went out, and he looked like he was drinking water and thinking, man, these guys just keep coming after me, coming downhill, running the football. The quarterback is making me chase him 50 yards all over the field. So all those things combined had them in the second half. They had the Packers defense, a really good defense, a little bit on their heels.
Why did the Packers manage to get so many explosives? There were obviously issues in the secondary. There wasn't a lot of pass rush. It seemed like every time they got one of those explosive plays, it was off a blitz. So you wonder, Kyler Gordon, I know Bigsy wrote today, you probably can't rely on him coming back again after he got hurt in the warm-up. So that must have been a fairly serious issue. What is it that they can fix, or can they fix anything with what's going on with their secondary of late?
Yeah, if you're a Chicago Bears defense and you go back to the film, you say, man, we gave up all our big plays on third down, right? Third and 10, you know, to Watson, third and 3, to Watson on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And, you know, early in the game, I think the first touchdown, you see Love, he recognizes the cover zero blitz. He recognizes Byard's one-on-one on Watson. He checks. It sounded like he said, ridge on the TV, but I'll let, you know, all the former quarterbacks talk about that on Twitter and on ESPN, tripping over each other. Right?
I'll let you know what Chase Daniels says.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, him and Dan Orlovsky call each other. They're racing. They're racing each other to get that on Twitter, right? And then there's the third and two guys late in the game for the touchdown. That was the 21-yard run by Josh Jacobs and Jervon Dexter. I'm sure he wants to try to get that tackle back, right? And it's just all the big plays, Molly, when you watch it on film, and then there's a second and 10 bust late in the first half, right, to Bo Melton. They're all late, you know, even second and 10, you say late in the first half. I mean, even that's kind of like a third down play. The Bears have them in the down and sometimes the distance that they want them in, right? They stop them, and then, of course, Dennis Allen gets aggressive, right? Tries to maybe create pressure in his mind. You got to ask him, did he not feel like he could get pressure with the front four? And then obviously we know all the injuries. You mentioned Kyler Gordon is out. Jalen Johnson doesn't look healthy. Tyreek Stevenson is out. So Jordan Love looks up and he's got McLeod in coverage, right? He's got C.J. Gardner-Johnson in coverage. Or they got Byard, a safety one-on-one with the best wide receiver. And of course, if you can block it up, you'll take advantage of those matchups. So like you're talking about, obviously the injuries, it seems like in a game we kept waiting, okay, with all those injuries, when you see a capable quarterback with capable receivers, will it catch up to the Chicago Bears? And yesterday on third down when they needed big plays, certainly the quarterback for the Packers, Love, found his good receivers on bad matchups for the Chicago Bears.
Olin, my sense is that when you heard Ben Johnson talk Friday at Hallis Hall, waxing poetic about the culture that has been instilled in the organization and telling the origin story of his coaching staff, it felt a little bit like, well, might be a little bit premature to have this kind of summation about a season that is not yet done. How do the Bears avoid now a letdown next Sunday? And do you think that they may have gotten a little ahead of themselves?
Yeah, it's the same thing that we talked about last week when the shirt came off, right? Not yet. It was my first stop. Not yet. I mean, it's fun. Hot dogs for everybody, and you all love that stuff. But as a football player who's been in buildings, who's been in Halas Hall, who can see things going the other direction really fast, just want to keep that focus on football, keep that focus on the Green Bay Packers. Let's not talk about how we've changed things yet when the season's not even over. And you talk about how, you know, when you're at Halas Hall, or you've been around Chicago for a long time, around Illinois for a long time, watching the Chicago Bears, seeing these one-season wonders, right? Even though Ben Johnson on film doesn't look like a one-season wonder, you've seen cultures go in the wrong direction really quick. Come talk to me about that after 5 or 8 years, right? Get to about 5 or 8 years down the line where you're constantly winning, going to the playoffs, competing every year. Because if you look at all the years the Chicago Bears have had, and we've studied the history, right, 2018, 2001, 2005, 2006, what usually follows is a lot of injuries the next year, right? The culture starts to deteriorate a little bit. Every year is its own season, and you just kind of want to keep the focus on, look, man, we got to go up there. We got to beat Green Bay. We got to go in the right direction. We got to keep this thing moving. And like you're saying, David, when you're hearing those things, when you see the T-shirt come off, when you see all that stuff, and that's not why they lost. But I'm like you. I start to think to myself, whoa, not yet. Not yet. We're not there yet. Although you guys, it does look better on film. These guys are playing this year, but you know, I'd rather hear him saying that at the podium after his eighth season, when he's been to the playoffs maybe 6 out of 8 times.
Oh, then we've heard people now concerned the Bears could have a letdown between the two Packer games playing Cleveland. Cleveland's not a great team. They've got a great player who's vying for a sacks record. But I don't think that's allowed in the NFL. I hear that kind of thing, I just think, and I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying that that's not allowed. And you know, whether it's coaches, other players, whoever has to grab everyone by the scruff of the neck and let them know, not allowed. You just can't do it.
Yeah, but it's a great point by you, right? And we'll see this leadership come out this week, whether it be from the coaching staff, whether it be, you know, I always talk about when you talk about leadership at a building, it starts at the very top, right? And I'm talking about the presidents, the owners, the coaches, everyone focused in this week on being the Cleveland Browns. It's the most important thing going on at Halas Hall this week. Any questions for anybody, pointed to the Cleveland Browns, right? We don't worry about nothing else but being a Cleveland Browns. All the things you want to talk about, building a new stadium, doing all the things you want to do. If we beat the Cleveland Browns, those things will come. All those things come off of beating football teams, winning, executing on the field, everybody in the building moving in one direction, right? And we talk about, David just asked me a question about Ben talking about Friday at the podium, yeah, right? And thank goodness I didn't hear it, because I probably would have been throwing my iPad around. But talking about how great the culture is now and all this kind of stuff. But look, don't talk about it. No, guys, I appreciate the question. Thank you very much. Anything about the Cleveland Browns, let me know. Right, like from Wednesday on, we don't even talk about the Packers loss. We talk about nothing in this building but beating the Cleveland Browns. And you got Joe Tooney, and you got Grady Jarrett, and you got young leaders like, you know, like Caleb Williams, like Darnell Wright. You got Montez Sweat. You got T.J. Edwards back. Everyone, Byard, everyone, guys, nothing's going on. Nothing else is happening. Put this game away. We lost it. We don't care about it. Talk about it today. After today, come Wednesday, nothing but the Cleveland Browns is all we're focused on. That's the team we got to beat.
Great stuff, Olin. 30 seconds, we have to go. But was there any doubt in your mind that the Bears would go for two if they scored that touchdown?
None. I thought they were going to go. I thought they were going to score. I had no doubt they were going to score, go for two, and win the game. I was already celebrating.
You're the best. Thanks,
Olin. Thanks, Olin. Good stuff.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's Olin Kreutz. That's great stuff.
That is really good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how it is. Olin says it, like, the tape will talk to you, and unfortunately, also, like, the odds. The odds of the Bears winning four straight road games was low. This, are we at a panic level of any kind after this? No, but I also think, well, the head coach did warn you that these things that he was concerned about, like, oh, I don't know, winning in spite of the passing game, not because of it necessarily. Certainly a lot of this stuff reared its ugly head in the first half. This is Raheem Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. You just heard Mark Grody. Marshall Harris is here, too. I'm Layla Raheem. And I had high hopes for this game, but at the same time, you have to respect, especially defensively, who the Packers have become. And as they continue to get healthy, you see why that they're a team to be reckoned with. Cool part is you see them in 2 weeks. Lame part is this still came down to one play, even though that wasn't the entirety of the game.
I think the biggest thing taking away from this game is that the Bears are absolutely on the NFC elite tier. Like, if you want to take tiers of football and who's good, who's a contender versus, you know, teams are in the mid or pretenders. They're not a pretender. They're a contender. And even though they lost, that is established. Now, what you can't have if the season's on the line, this was not a playoff game, but in a similar situation, let's say a month plus from now, is a game where you just play an absolutely putrid half of football. And that's what they put out there, a putrid half of football. They played well in the second half. They looked like a Ben Johnson-led team and offense in the second half of the game. But what they did in the first half, that's why they lost this game in my mind. Not because Caleb Williams got picked off on the last offensive play that the Bears had. But you know what? It was at Lambeau. We'll do it again in 2 weeks here in Chicago, and it'll be fun. I promise. It will be highly anticipated.
Oh, my God. It's a Saturday night game on December 20th at 7 p.m. It's going to be like Soldier Field is going to get a workout the next 2 weeks. I get that it's going to be hard to, like, truly feel motivated and excited about the 3-10 Cleveland Browns being at Soldier Field, but these are going to be two hype games in the next 2 weeks. And, yes, I agree with you, Marshall. The Bears are still at a top tier in the NFC. That didn't change. The Bears Bears are good. I haven't moved off that. The Bears were not embarrassed in that game. It was an impressive comeback. The Bears had a chance to beat the Packers at the end if there were a few inches that were a little bit more exact at the end. So the Bears are good. I'm not taking that away from the Bears. But what I'm hearing from a lot of people, including Green Bay Packers players, saying that this is not the same old Bears, that they're seeing a more formidable, legitimate team that had a chance to win. You're hearing Bears fans say that. I'm hearing other people around town say that. It's not the same old Bears. I get it. But I am here to tell you that within the framework of this Bears-Packers game, guess what, everybody? It was the same old Chicago Bears, because in seemingly in every Packers game that the Bears lose, and some have been worse than others, there's some sort of explosive, Bo Melton-like play, like a 45-yard bomb to who? To Bo Melton. It may as well have been Dontavious Wicks or Jordy Nelson or JerMichael Finley or James Jones.
Oh, wow.
Fill in your Packers that have burned the Bears through the years, and then the stars like Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, anyone? For my old heads out there, there's always that play against the Packers. There's the Bo Melton play, the Christian Watson play, Jordan Love, the 41-yard slant to Watson on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. There's always a defensive player who gets victimized in these Bears Packers game. In that case, bad coverage by C.J. Watson. I don't know what more he probably could have done on that particular play. And then we had the breakdown defensively on the Bo Melton play, where you had Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker in no man's land. I am here to tell you, and I haven't even gone through the entire litany of explosive plays, I am here to tell you that right there, that is the same old Bears relative to a Bears-Packers game. It doesn't mean the Bears aren't good, but we did. You know what I'm talking about, Bears fans. There was a lot of the same old stuff against the Green Bay Packers in terms of their explosive plays.
I want to point out the halftime adjustments that were made in this game were massive. I don't think anybody's taking away from the coaching staff being able to change so much of this game at the half. But my question is, what was going on in the first half? Like you just mentioned, there were so many breakdowns. We learned right before the game Kyler Gordon is a scratch yet again because of the groin injury. Supposedly he re-aggravated it in pregame warmups. We saw, I think, a game plan that even if Kyler Gordon had been healthy, I'm not sure if that works out in the way it did for Dennis Allen and the defense. Like you mentioned, Mark, there were some real big defensive breakdowns in this game, and frankly, some just absolute burning of the Bears man coverage. Like that was part of this for me. Once again, you say, well, the pass rush has got to do more up front to get home. Those are your money men. You know, outside of Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon, the money that you've spent, the big money, is in that defensive line. And yeah, we saw one Montez Sweat sack, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't enough to make a difference like what you saw on the other side, Green Bay's front seven and what they were doing. Like, the box score may indicate that Micah Parsons might have not had the stats he wanted, but my goodness, he changed the shape of this game.
I think the biggest thing, looking at the way this game went and the flow of the game and Jordan Love and these explosives that we talk about. So the one play to Christian Watson on the man-to-man in the second half, that was like, okay, man-to-man, your team speed greater than our team speed, easy touchdown. That's one thing. But in the first half, what you're talking about, Layla, specifically, once Kyler Gordon goes down, they just did not have what they needed because Jalen Johnson's not at full strength yet. He's not playing, you know, 90, 100% of the snaps. He's playing, what, 60% of the snaps. They just didn't have the team speed to keep up with it without getting some pressure up front. You mentioned the one sack. That's the only sack of the game. That's the only, and Jordan Love had all day to let things develop downfield. They tried to pick on Nick McCloud. It didn't work out to Nick McCloud's benefit. But overall,
I did at some spots.
Well, no, but not on the huge plays. And really, when I look at this game, I look back a week ago at Black Friday and say, it's just a matter of Jordan Love was better at hitting on opportunities compared to what we saw Jalen Hurts doing. Because those opportunities were there for Jalen Hurts, too. He couldn't hit on them. But Jordan Love had no problem making the most out of any situation where he felt he had a mismatch downfield.
Yeah, I mean, one name I left out. Anybody got anything on Josh Wiley? The 21-yard catch before the 23-yard play to Christian Watson that made it 7-0 on a 3rd-and-10 play. So there's another name. I'll throw Josh Wiley into the mix as well on that. So, yeah, you're right, Marshall. They were able to take advantage of some Bears blitzes for sure. TJ Edwards turning up the heat as Dennis Allen, you know, dials up an early, which was great to see. Hey, here comes 53 coming up the pike. And then what did they throw? Was it a 9 or 10 yard play by Jordan Love?
Check and
maybe
down. Yeah.
Check down, beautifully done on the Packers side, which I hate to say, but yeah, man, they're was a decent amount of same old for the Bears for this.
And Mark, to your point, how many times have we seen over the years where ex-defensive coordinator for Bears would dial up a blitz and then Aaron Rodgers would be like, hi, here's someone in the flat. Chunk.
Yeah,
go.
He had the exact same
positive
skill
play
and ability, and the only difference is Aaron Rodgers' escapability is better than Jordan. I don't know if still is, but was against the Bears in all those games.
Was.
Like Aaron Rodgers used to do to the Bears what Caleb Williams does to everybody, just annoyingly, when you think you got him, when you're 99% you got him, you don't got him.
He's got you.
He's got you.
Our segment on Raheem Harrison Grody is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I, to the Packers' credit, the thing that I thought I was going to see more of in this game was the Jordan Love back foot hop throw that kind of goes askew, you know, because that's what happens.
It did it.
The quarterback footwork was so key in this game because it predicted what you saw out of Caleb Williams. And then it also was indicative of Jordan Love's performance. Like, he didn't have those throws in this game. Not really. I mean, he did it a couple times, but it was to accuracy. The other thing is he was placing the balls and stepping up in the pocket and throwing some darts that just absolutely made the Bears look bad. And it's just like you guys have said. They took advantage of some one-on-one mismatches where they were winning at way too much of a clip, where it echoed what I saw out of the Bears game last week. The Bears were so good at scheming the one-on-one mismatches against the Eagles defense, and then they have it done unto them at Lambeau in that way, and I think that that's what accounted for a lot of what we saw. That first half, though, there's only so much you can overcome. And Marshall, when we were talking about it in our pre-show meeting, I thought about how many times like an NBA team will get down by 20 and you have to come back. And there's only so many times you can do that before you're gassed. And that's what I felt like happened. If one or two of those drives go even longer, just longer in the first half, if Caleb Williams isn't 6 of 14 for 32 yards and a 50.3 rating, if it's, I don't know, take those 14 attempts. If he's 8 of 14, are we talking about a different game because it allows for a different margin at the end of this game for the Bears? Like, that's part of it, too, for me. How much of that first half did they have to overcome?
Well, I think that's what makes it very curious is that at the end of the game, if you look at the score, you're like, okay, the Bears were there. And certainly if you watch just like the final, if you just watch the fourth quarter of this game, you're thinking, okay, this has been a back and forth affair. You probably wouldn't know what the reality was. But the Bears started out with one run play on the first 6 snaps of the game. They started out with Caleb Williams 0 for 5 on some throws that he could have connected on because receivers were open.
Yeah.
And so as great and heroic as Caleb Williams looked when he put the cape on in the second half and made some ridiculous throws, you could call some of the throws he made at the beginning of the game ridiculous for a whole other reason. And I think that's where the lack of consistency comes to bite you when you face the best of the best on the road.
I think that there was some of the, like, of course, somehow, some way within this game where there were missteps by Caleb Williams for sure. You're right. He sailed a couple balls on that first drive. Oh, I mean, the Luther Burden.
Like first down catches that would have kept the drive going.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even two more completions. How different does this look?
Darnell Wright didn't help matters with creating a 3rd-and-15 on your first and drive. That sucks. That's horrible.
Pre-snap.
Like, to put yourself in that spot on the Bears' first offensive chance in the biggest game of their season. That needs to be circled. But with Caleb than you had. Of course you did, because this is Caleb Williams. I was talking about this on Take the North with Weederer, that it felt like watching Caleb in a, when we got to watch the entire training camp practices, we get to see all it out, we get to see everything that they're doing. And Caleb Williams, like in so many games, you'd watch him and he would make sloppy plays, he would miss guys, he'd be inaccurate, he'd miss the deep balls, and then all of a sudden in the third quarter, he makes that absolutely sick play to Cole Kmet down the sideline where he eludes the pressure, dances to the sidelines, flings it to Kmet. He had a similar play to DeAndre Swift last year. So I guess my whole point in bringing this together is we're still seeing throughout the course of a game really good stuff from Caleb Williams and really bad stuff from Caleb Williams throughout the course of the game. That still has to even up for Caleb.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Tom Rinaldi, you're on the Bears sideline. How are they feeling about this rivalry?
Well, Aaron Andrews called it spicy. It's a big week. We know how important this rivalry is. That was Ben Johnson's first message this week, directly echoing what he said 10 months ago in that opening presser. But he told us that when he interviewed to get this job, George McCaskey, the chairman of the Bears, stressed the importance of this rivalry to him. That's one of the reasons it was in his mind and one of the reasons he made those comments, guys.
Obviously, when it comes down to the wire like that and you're on the losing side of it, it's disappointing.
Well, that was a heck of a football game. Got to give the Bears a ton of credit. We knew that it was going to be a tough challenge, and it was exactly that.
Really close at the end, but give a lot of credit to Green Bay. They made a couple more plays than us.
What's coming? Love has time. Floats one. Watson. Down. Touchdown, Packers. Love loading up. Going deep. Down the field. Has a man. It's caught. Touchdown, Bo Melton. Love on a play fake. Quick throw. Watson with the speed. Uh-oh. Christian Watson in a foot race. And he's going to win it. Touchdown, Green Bay.
That's a really good football team. We got a lot of respect. They got a good talent and good coaching. Caleb Williams, I mean, he is a tough guy to sack. And he made a ton of big-time throws tonight.
Play fake. Williams looking through.
We're fortunate that we made a play when we needed to at the end of the game, but it was a back and forth battle, particularly in that second half.
And it all comes down to this fourth and one. Williams looking, throwing, it is intercepted. Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it.
This Bears team, they showed a lot of fight today, KB. That was a valiant effort. Hell of a football game.
There's a handshake, and Matt LaFleur's Packers take over first place in the NFC North.
You know, our guys do a good job of taking, you know, our lumps from this. We'll learn from it. We'll make our corrections, and we'll move on.
You or Ben say anything to each other, or was it just a blow-by handshake?
Oh, it's just, I think, quick handshake. I mean, we'll see him again in 2 weeks. So
cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you until 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of stuff for us to do, including in 30 minutes, we are going to talk with Kurt Warner. Adam Hoge is going to be on the show at 4 o'clock. We're going to find out how Alex's trip went to Green Bay, or should I say Denmark. He went to Denmark, Wisconsin first, and then it went to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. There's a lot to get to. Alex has made it back from Wisconsin, thank God. Danny is here. He was left alone yesterday, and that's the way that he likes it. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur. It's a little more sad today.
How about LaFleur? I mean, they got a lot of good things going on there. And Caleb Williams is really good, and I really like Alameda Zacchaeus and DJ Moore, such professional. And the way they were running the ball with Manunga, I mean, JT Barrett did a great job of coaching up them. And then look at the running backs coach. I mean, look, they clearly, with Eric Bieniemy, have got a lot of things going well for them. I mean, Dennis Allen made it tough for us all day. I mean, Ryan Poles is just the nicest man in the world. And have you ever had a conversation with Kevin Warren? That guy is really on top of it. And other than that, there's no one in the Bears organization that I'd like to say anything about.
Yeah, he definitely has felt slighted, and he clearly enjoyed it. I got to say, though, I was hoping that he would go full-on heel in the post-game presser.
Really lean into the rivalry?
Just to start with, hey, everybody, so I guess they're not going to beat us twice this year, huh? Okay, I'll take questions. That's what I was hoping he would just go ahead
and even
do.
Their post-game locker room, like the game ball portion, I watched that this morning. Very tightly edited. Who knows what happened between those edits? You know, I'd love to think some of that stuff happened, but probably not.
I kind of like your idea, Speaks. I would have liked it if you, let's reverse that. Let's make that the last part of the press conference, and let's also have him taking off his shirt in the locker room.
Just so you guys know, my pecs are really solid. You know,
I too have been lifting.
I don't need a free lame-ass hot dog to take off my shirt.
And I put ketchup on my hot dog.
I'm 12-1 against those Jamokes. All right, see you guys later. Catch you tomorrow. Right? But he didn't do that.
He didn't. He stayed classy. Maybe he won the second game if they win.
He stayed classy. But, man, look, I know that I might be in the minority here, but I've done some crowdsourcing as well. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're in the minority.
Especially here and in this industry. But go ahead.
That's right. I'm not in the industry. I'm usually a boss. Let's be honest. But here's the thing. I loved that they could hang. That the Bears could hang. The joy and surprise of how good they were in the second half. The fact that the coaches made the adjustments, and they started to late in the second quarter, but they really did in the second half at halftime and came out, and the way the offense was, and they figured out how to stay away from Micah and frustrate him and retake the control of the line of scrimmage and they did not turtle. Cole Kmet said after the game, quote, "I've seen teams I've been a part of here fold at halftime like that."
He's right.
"When things aren't going so well. So to come out like that and play the way we did, I thought was good on our end and things we've got to carry going forward." I know the players will not ever cop to a moral victory, and they don't have to. But for the fans, for the way that thing felt, I just enjoyed the fact that they could hang so much. Maybe it's the last one of the season, you know? Certainly the last one of the regular season, but in a season that has been defined by figuring out just how good are the Bears, actually. Yesterday was like a final piece to show me, you know what? They're good enough to hang in a December game of consequence at Lambeau Field. All righty then. So maybe it's the last one of the year, but I think yes to moral victory yesterday.
I love good ball, and that's what the second half of that game was. It was just good pad-popping football yesterday. You had checks and counter-checks. You had point and counterpoint. You had two teams that didn't want to give in to the other team, and it goes down to the last minute of the game. We, as a viewing public, were engaged for 60 minutes of that game. And that's what I love. I love the fact that you had the Packers being like, oh, okay, we're going to take some of these advantages. They could have done even more in the first half, but they didn't. The point that you raise about the second half, and I'm not too keen on second half adjustments. Like, it's the adjustments are happening in real time, like from series to series. And mostly what happens at halftime is guys go to the bathroom or change their socks or have a banana or orange slices or whatever.
But yeah, they got an emotional reset, which is what Ben said they needed to.
But I thought that Ben Johnson did an incredible job of taking away some of Green Bay's aggression. And Caleb played a big role in that. The fact that he was so slippery, that is now become one of the things that's made him really good at playing quarterback this year, is that you think you have him and you don't. You could see the frustration on Micah Parsons' face because he was in Caleb's face like every play.
Yeah.
He was getting there and they weren't getting him on the ground enough. But the fact that they then used that against the Packers in the second half and they ran the ball, and then you see Micah having to make choices where it's like, wait, is he going to escape? I need to keep contained. So I can't get too far up the field because he'll just go. That's where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. So I can't help him get there. Seeing some of that, seeing the, and even on the Packers side, seeing Josh Jacobs being like, I am not going to allow this to happen.
He is an absolute beast, and was. And look, there's a lot that Caleb did that was very special when he was on the move, and Ben ended up doing that with him. And there are issues with Caleb, as we know. The difference in that game yesterday to me was Jordan Love being able to do some elite top-level quarterback stuff that Caleb's just not ready to do yet.
Later on, can we talk about that? Because you're a good test case on Jordan Love. Like, you've kind of been like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. And then you see some stuff from him where you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, we'll spend some time. We'll spend some time on him. And we'll spend some time on Caleb today and certainly spend some more time on Caleb tomorrow. But it's still bigger than that. I think we're still in a space that's bigger than that because of what the season has ended up being about.
Yeah, and that's where I was on Friday with this. And the reason that I'm so adamant about the no moral victories, while also acknowledging that, yes, there was a moral victory to yesterday's game, is because the Bears have, in my opinion, have asked us to take them seriously and legitimately. And so I have adjusted my mindset to that. I am now in the place of, shouldn't we be treating this like we would be treating the Cubs or the White Sox if they were in a pennant chase?
Well, this is a great point. I think that, A, you have always identified with the player more than I have because of the volume of time you've spent covering the player and the fact that you were a high-level catcher for a while there. And like so, and I think this is the difference between the player's perspective. It's funny, like Kevin Fishbane's piece in The Athletic literally starts with the Bears have advanced past the moral victory stage. It literally starts with that. That's his piece from inside the locker room. Yeah, they're done with that. And I get it. You can be done with that. And other people can be identifying with the players and be done with that. I'm still in the fan and the analyst space, the fanalist space, if you will. And the truth is, 2015 was the bonus year. This is, on some level, still some bonus here where I'm figuring out how good the team is and how good the coach is. That's why I know I might be in the minority, but I've done some crowdsourcing and I know I'm not alone.
I get you. This league is so unforgiving, man. It's so unforgiving, and there's so many examples. Look at Washington this year.
3-10.
Look at Minnesota this year. Look at Kansas City this year.
Kansas City is going to not win the division for the first time in 9 years.
It's so unforgiving that when you have an opportunity like this, like I don't want to just go, well, and maybe if the Bears get to the playoffs and they lose in the first round or whatever, I imagine by February, March, I probably will be in that place of copium and be like, oh, well, at least they got there and let's see how they build on it. But I think that when you're talking about a one-off, you've got one game to win, then it can be the bounce of the ball. Like, it can be you. It doesn't, you don't have to just bow to the idea of that you're too early for this to be for real.
I hear you, but maybe that's it too for me. Like, there are four games left, and there you get them again in 2 weeks.
And I want to see, you know how I feel about seeing Ben on the re-up.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, because I think we're learning. Ben and LaFleur adjusted to each other before that game even began.
It was great.
There was a listener that asked Wani the question on Thursday when we had him in studio in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance space. Do you think that Matt LaFleur is going to adjust to what the Bears do and Ben will already have adjusted to what he thinks LaFleur is going to do? I love the question. Wani's like, yes, immediately. And that's what we saw, some high-level coaching stuff. I think it's the last opportunity. Yesterday's the last opportunity for any sort of moral victory feeling, because for me anyway, because you went up to Green Bay. Now you better win. You better beat them in 2 weeks at home. And if they get into the playoffs and they play a thriller in the playoffs and lose, I don't think that one's going to feel like a moral victory either. I think this was like the last hurdle I needed to see, and you can hang with Green Bay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.